Can you afford to be a jerk? And we'll find out about that, won't we? Yeah. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Can you afford to be a jerk? Now, people like to pick on other people. And it's so easy to say, somebody did something, and somebody said something to me, and somebody said something to them. And I think to myself, can we afford to be a jerk? Now, who is the jerk? The person who is speaking unkindly about another person, or the person who's being spoken about who accepts it as being spoken unkindly about? Now, that's a good question, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, think about it. I've been watching The Dog Whisperer a great deal lately and learning a great deal. It's a wonderful series of videos that he's making. And the wonderful thing that he has reminded me again and again is that a dog is not holding a grudge. A dog does not remember what you did yesterday. A dog will learn good habits, but he doesn't know why he has the habits. He just knows that that's a good habit to do. He walks close to you. If you keep him on the leash and you walk him close to you, he'll walk close. He won't say, I want to go play, I want to go play, I want to go play. If you have his head directed against your knee so that he pays attention to what you're doing, what did the dog trainer tell us that the dog wants? What does a dog want most of anything in a home? Discipline. What does a dog want mostly in a home?
Cosa vuole un cane di più nella sua casa?
What does a dog want most in a home?
Regularity. Regularity.
The dog wants most in a home to have someone giving him directions. Because if someone's not giving him directions, what does he have to do?
He has to take responsibility.
He has to take responsibility and be in charge. So he wants someone to be in charge. And he's not unhappy if you take over after he's been in charge. He's been running around, pulling you up this way and that way around the street and up and down and in to see different dogs that he hears and so on. And when you hold him close to your knee as you're walking along, and if he wants to move this way or that way, you just jerk him back gently and say, don't say a thing, you just jerk him back gently and just continue on your way. And after doing this for a week, the dog will get the message. He'll build the habit that he is to walk at your side. Then when you take the leash off and you take a walk with the dog, he walks at your knee. If he doesn't walk at your knee, then you put the leash on again for a while. But you train the dog that that is the thing to do. That is the thing to do, to walk at your knee. Now, when you are in a family, and some members of the family think they know more than you do, they think they're smarter than you are, and they want to tell you where to head off, and you know yourself what is the right thing to do. And so they say to you, you should do this. And you, in your higher level of wisdom, you say, thank you for advising me. Thank you for telling me. And then you go on and do whatever it is you're doing perfectly, untouched. You see, it's their desire. It's their feeling important to tell somebody else what to do. And if you let them tell you what to do and be upset by it, then who's in charge? Not you. But if you say, thank you very much, thank you very much. And, you know, this is something that we have not done too well with Ingeborg here. Ingeborg asks questions, or Ingeborg comes up with some interesting responses to questions that we have sometimes, and we say, oh, Ingeborg, don't you know? Oh, don't you know? And that's not nice. What should we say, Ellen?
That is a good idea.
No.
You know.
Thank you for telling me, Ingeborg.
Ah, okay.
Thank you. Not that's a good idea. You may not agree with that idea, but thank you for telling me. I'll think about it.
Okay.
Thank you for telling me. I'll consider it. Thank you for telling me. But if you say, that's a good idea, then what's wrong with you for not having thought of it sooner, you know? If they can think of it sooner, then they're smarter than you are. But that's a good idea, or not that's a good idea. Thank you.
For telling me.
For telling me. I'll think about it, you know? You know, Mariella, you would look so pretty if you would wear your hair up. And Mariella has worn her hair up, and she's not interested in wearing her hair up. And so Mariella says, well, thank you for telling me. That's so nice of you to be aware of my hair. I think that's very lovely. Thank you. And then you go on your way, and she's all done. She doesn't have to have your hair up. She's already got your hair up. She's already got the thank you for thinking with you. And that's all that it's all about. But you see, we haven't learned how to be good, not dog whisperers, but dog whisperers too, that's good too, but to be the pack leader. If you're going to be the pack leader, then you act that way. Now, if you're going to take the dog on a leash and you're going to take him for a walk, you keep him close to your leg. Keep him right close, and you make sure that he doesn't look anywhere else. He doesn't see anything else. Now, when Dog Whisperer gave the illustration of going outdoors with a dog that's always guarding everything and looking, and the Dog Whisperer, the pack leader, he went out the door first, and he kept the dog inside. And then he let the dog come out next to him. Now, the dog had one thing in mind. What does the pack leader want me to do? He's paying attention to the pack leader to see what to do. He's not looking around trying to protect the family from the world out there and all the animals that are out there and all the people and things that are out there. He's just saying whatever the pack leader wants him to do. And this is what we have to learn to do. Who is the pack leader in our world? Okay. You say, well, that's an interesting question. Whether it's mommy or daddy or whoever. Well, the pack leader in our world is our divine self. Now, how about that? The pack leader in our world is our divine self. Now, what does our divine self want us to do? Our divine self wants us at all times to be happy, to be peaceful, to be contented, to be at one. Our divine self doesn't want us chasing the other dogs, doesn't want us running around being worried about what's going on in the world and making sure that there's peace on earth and grabbing them in the throat if they're not, you know, because that's what we've been taught. That's what we've been taught. Actually, pack leaders are the greatest lovers. The divine right action is pure love. And the Dog Whisperer never hit a dog. Mm-hmm. He never spoke badly to a dog. Mm-hmm. He merely said, no, yes, down, sit, come. Yeah. But most of the time, he did not speak, did he? Mm-hmm. What did he do?
He makes sounds. He showed his energy, as he let his energy.
He gave his energy, he gave his attitude to the dog without saying a word, and the dog picked it up. When he came in, because he was self-confident, chest out, chin up, you know, here I am, Mr. Fantastic Dog Person, you know, and every dog loves me, and every dog thinks I'm just wonderful, and he comes in the room, and the dogs all come up to him and say, my gosh, this is a new attitude. This is a new type of feeling. My mom and dad weren't like that, you know, they're all afraid of me, you know, but this guy, he's a pack leader, you know, and they want to do instantly what he says, and sometimes they try to keep their old ways. And so, what's the first thing he does? He rolls them over on their side and has them be docile. He is the pack leader. And when he rolls them over on their side, they don't mind. They stay there. And he rubs their tummy. They stay there because he's the boss. He can control me. So, when you take the dog on a leash and a walk, you're the pack leader. You're the one who tells them what to do. Now, when people come into your world, when other dogs come into your world, like your sister and brothers, your mother and father, when they come into your world, are you going to be the pack leader, or are they going to be the pack leader? Now, Alan, what is the best thing to say to show that you are a pack leader? What did you say to Ingeborg? Thank you.
Thank you for telling me.
I will think about it.
I will think about it.
See, you're in charge. You're the pack leader. So your mom comes in and says, Ellen, go ahead and pick up your room. Oh, Mom, thanks for telling me. I'll get right to it, or I'll get to it, or, you know, maybe. But thanks, Mom.
Thank you for telling me.
Thank you for telling me. And she's off guard. She says, my goodness sake, what happened here? Somebody's listening to me. And so, but she's not the pack leader anymore. You are, because you have taken control. And with any other person that comes into your world, if they want to throw brickbats at you, or want to say unkind things to you, or in any way push your buttons, you just say, thank you for telling me. Hey, that's cool. That's interesting. Ingeborg, I think you should put the dishes in the dishwasher this way. And Ingeborg says, you terrible person, I've been putting the dishwasher in the dishwasher for the last 40 years. Now you wouldn't start telling me how to put the dishwasher in the... No. Whew. All that energy, all that attitude gone poof out the window. You just say, thank you for telling me. And then, as you will, you go about doing it as you will. But thank you for telling me. And right away, the issue is over with. The issue is closed. Now, perhaps you should do it the way they tell you, or maybe you shouldn't. But are you going to be in charge, or are you going to be destroyed? We're destroyed when we let people and their positive attitudes and their correct way of doing things tell us something. We're destroyed because they own us. They possess us. They rolled us over on our side. Okay, you know, you're the boss. But don't do that. Now, you stop that. You stop that. You don't look at somebody else. Now, did you get the message? You know, you don't do that. That's not nice. Did you get the message? Then that's all that matters. Did you get the message? That's all that matters. Did you get the message?
Yes.
Did you get the message?
Yes.
Did you get the message?
Yes.
Yeah. Huh?
Yes, cool.
Yes, they say that's good.
Yeah. Are you the master of yourself?
Say il maestro della tuo di te stesso.
Yes.
See, you got the message.
Allora,
cool.
Capito.
But you see, you and Ingeborg, Sylvia, you sometimes look at each other when something is being said that you think applies to the other person and they should hear it. Well, you shouldn't think that. Now, we're going to take a step further here now. We're talking about healing and wholeness and so forth these last couple of days because we are getting a lot of calls about it. And now, you call yourself a practitioner. You do. You're a practitioner. You practice being a mother. You practice being working with children and cooperating with them, getting them to cooperate with you and so on. And so, and then people come to you who are ill, and your son comes in the house and he just fell down and ripped his leg and bled all over the place, and you say, don't drag blood in the house! Mom, I'm hurting! Don't drag blood in the house! You're putting their mind on something totally different. And when you put their mind on something totally different, they don't realize that they're hurting anymore. They just realize they're tracking blood in the house. Well, I can't if I want because I'm hurt. You know? And you say, no, you can't. And you say, now let's go out to the washroom here and wash that off. Now, what were you doing that you did that? You know, again, distract their attention. Why did you let that happen to you? You're all toughy. You never have those things happen. And then squirts walk, you know, ouch, ouch. And then it's over with. The dirt's all out of the wound. And you say, here, let me kiss it. Mom, kiss that ugly mess. Sure. You know, now go play. But Mom, don't I get any bandages or any iodine or any of this? No. I'm not going to exacerbate the problem. No. Now go play. But Mom, I'll get disease and germs. Who told you that? I don't tell you those things. I say, you're home perfect. Now go play. Your immune system is so fantastic. You're untouched. The amount of dirt that you eat. See, you're in charge. You're the alpha. You're the one who makes the decisions. And you are. Now, back to our healing aspect here. We have a lot of women and men married who have husbands or wives that have problems. Okay, now, when a husband looks at his wife and says, oh, sweetheart, I feel so sorry for you, you're in so much pain and so forth like that, she says, oh, yes, I am, you know, and she's in more pain. But he comes in and he says, sweetheart, you're a tiger. You can handle anything. I'm so proud of you. Would you like a bottle of schnapps, or would you like a cup of tea, or what would you like to have? And she says, oh, you're silly. Schnapps, you know, I don't drink schnapps. Beer, yeah, maybe, you know. Schnapps, no, you know. But no. You'd be sort of ludicrous about it. And light. And yet, be there. And care. And then she says, just having you standing here makes me feel a whole lot better. You know? And that's what it is. That's what it is. Now, did she, or he rather, did he pay attention to whatever his wife's problem was? Not at all. He's not a doctor. He's not in the business of working with people's illnesses. He's a husband. He's in the business of working with his wife's love, with his wife's happiness, with his wife's joy. And so he's going to say, sweetheart, you are an amazing woman. Oh my goodness. You know, what I hear of other people and their wives and how their wives, you know, go on, and I think to myself, I have the sweetest angel in the world. And she looks up at him and has to admire him, you know, and has to think, you know, the right things to say. Now, what about the illness? What about the illness? Where did the illness go? Why is he not paying attention to the illness? Well, he is. He is seeing her.
Whole and perfect.
Whole and perfect. He is seeing her not in the illusion of the illness, of the illusion of the scratched leg or something. He's seeing her in the reality of her original purity and integrity. Now, I should really manufacture some special glasses, you know, like a spyglass, like a magnifying glass. And in this magnifying glass, you go up to a person who's sick, and you look right through your magnifying glass at their original purity and integrity, you know. Mm-hmm. And you see their original purity and integrity, and you say, hey, you want to take a look at this? You can see your original purity. I can't get over there. Well, here, I have to hold a mirror. So you hold a mirror up here so that she can see, or he can see, through the magnifying glass to their original purity and integrity. And it's, oh, it's there. Come on out, original purity and integrity. Come on out, wholeness. Come on out, happiness. And can you imagine that?
That's a good one.
Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
But it's true.
Yeah.
Now, really, I should create such a wonderful magnifying glass or glass. And what would the glass have in it? What would the glass have in it? Glass.
Glass.
It would have glass.
Glass.
Say it in
retro.
Yeah. It would have glass And it wouldn't be a magnifier or anything. It would just be plain glass. You know? Beautiful. So, you see, this is what... Now, you know Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Well, the boy who plays Harry Potter does not wear glasses.
I know.
And so the glasses that he wears for the show are plain glass. He's got to remember to put on the plain glass glasses and look for the plain glass glasses, you know, he's always looking for them.
Uh-huh.
And he knows how to play the game. But the thing is, that's just part of the character that he's playing, the plain glass glasses.
Uh-huh.
Now, how fascinating, eh?
Nice.
Yeah. Now, are you ready to take some of these ideas and put them in your life and stop being the garbage can for the world's problems and the world's bitching and be the buffet of the world's kitchen, you know, where everything is served beautifully and abundantly, harmoniously and perfectly? Can you imagine Ingeborg going into the downtown buffet or whatever that's called? Can you imagine her going in there? What would she do? Would she go to the dessert counter first? I know I would. Well, you would do anything I would do. That's why I say that. You know. Where do kids go? Do they want the vegetables or the potatoes? They want the dessert. And why not?
Mm-hmm.
We really should serve the dessert first. You know?
Right,
and then you eat the rest of the food, whatever you've got room for.
Nice.
And that would be fun. But let's play this game of life and play it with all our hearts and all our soul and all our being. And let's all learn from the dog whisperer that we are the alpha dog for ourselves, for our world, for our circumstances, for even when there's someone, even if Mr. Obama came into the room. And he's the president, and he's the big wig, you know. And we should say, oh, hi, Obama, how are you doing, you know. And he would say, fine, fine, you know. And we should be humble before him. I mean, he's a president, you know. And he says, hey, cool it, you know. So we see him like we see ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We see him wonderful. We see him fantastic. Now, can you do anything that Obama can do? Yes, don't be so hesitant to say it. You can do anything Obama can do. He believes in himself. Now, do you believe in yourself?
Yes.
Okay. Have a nice afternoon.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.